I'm a big believer in karma. So when I dumped a girl on Christmas last year at her parents' house, after dinner and after I received a present without bringing her one, I knew some shit was gonna happen to me. But I was gonna prevent it from happening. Because for the remainder of 2008, I was not going to be a dick. And I think to myself, how am I going to avoid this? And that's spending New Year's Eve with my parents. Well, there's nothing funny about that. I wanted to go to my parents because I know, number one, if I go to a bar, I'll probably, like, with karma, catch a disease that is abbreviated because they're the bad ones. So I'm going to go to my parents. They're super conservative people. We'd probably talk about how they wrote in George W. Bush instead of voted for Obama. We'd read from the Bible, which says, don't be a dick. It's right on page 273 after they killed Dumbledore. So I'm going to go to my parents. I'm set to go to my parents. It's going to be safe. There's no option for me to be a dick. And then the call came that changed my life. Not really, but everything else seemed kind of deep up here. So I'm going to go with that. One of my friends called me, and she has been a confidant of mine for 10 years, and she's having a family New Year's Eve party in Essex in a quaint house on the river. And I'm thinking to myself, nothing can go wrong. It's actually a dry party. They're drinking eggnog without any alcohol in it. I will be playing with the kids. I will be playing like she's got a husband and two kids and her mom and her grandfather, and everybody's going to be there. Nothing can go wrong. So I set out on New Year's Eve to her house, and I'm going down Dundalk Boulevard, which has all of the lights and signs of New Year's past. Liquor store, dive bar, girl in shiny skirt. And I wind down, and the lights stop, and it goes into like the dark, like wooded area. And I'm like, this is great, because this is safe. Nothing is going to happen here. I will have no option to be a dick. So I get to her house, and it's a great family event. This is perfect. They have like a vegetable tray, and they have those chocolate things with the pretzel around them that everybody can make, but for some reason we have to be impressed by this shit. And I didn't think that, though, because I wasn't being a dick. And the family, I mean, it was great. It was an amazing family. We watched, like, they had just bought a TV, so we watched, like, football on their TV. And I'm not a football person. And I didn't say that, though, because I wasn't being a dick. And then I played video games with their kids, and there were, like, little, it was, like, some woodland creature video game, and they looked like little Teletubbies that ran around in the woods. You couldn't even kill the characters. I'm thinking to myself, there's no way that I'm going to have an option to be nasty here. Karma will not bite me at all this New Year's Eve. So, I mean, we continue on. Like, we have dinner, and, like, I get introduced to aunts, and, by the way, hey, did anybody, spend New Year's Eve with me last year? Let's continue. So, like, it was really a great night. I got to hang out with the family. This woman, by the way, has been my confidant for 10 years, and she had known about all of the problems I had had with women or problems that I had caused women over the past couple of years. She really was there for me. She comforted me back when I used to be nice, and then it kind of fell apart at some point, but she was still stuck around. And she was really, this was like my sister. This woman was my sister. So we're in this quaint house, and everything kind of winds down, and I help her clean up the house, and it gets to be, I mean, we're just talking, because we're old friends. It's like college. Like, you don't get to hang out with adults, like, past midnight that often, because we're old. That's what happens. So we're sitting on the couch, and it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. It's infomercials. We're talking about life. And she turns to me and she says, Tim, touch me. No. This isn't happening. No. She's like, no, just touch me. And I'm not going to do anything. I'm not. I don't do anything with married women. I don't recently. And so I'm not going to do anything. And then she kind of goes for the Hail Mary pass. I know you're a lot of hipsters out there. Hail Mary is when you take that last chance, that last ditch effort. And she, to herself, kind of, like, stirs, like, okay, if you're listening to this on a podcast, I'm circulating my hand around my crotch, but it's to simulate her crotch. She masturbates in front of me for the next 5 to 7 minutes. And I know what you're thinking. Hold on, before we get to that, let me set this up. This is a really small house, okay? So, like, hold on. Do you have, like, a red scarf? You there? You have, like, a red scarf on? I can't see. The lights are bright. So, like, you're her kids. So just for the rest of this, imagine that's your mom right there. Just for, and, like, her husband, who is asleep, is, like, where Jesus is back there. Where Jesus... So I'm, no, I can't believe this is happening. She masturbates in front of me. And so you're like, why did you stick around? Well, I wasn't going to be a dick. So I watched the whole thing kind of wrap up. But then it hit me. Like, how sad is your life that you are masturbating? Like, how bad is your life? This seems like the perfect life. She's got a husband, she's got two kids, she's got this quaint house on the river, and she feels the need to masturbate in front of me. And it's really, really, it's sad. I hope you're coughing and not laughing. So I turn to her at the end of the night, and I look at her, and she's like, she realizes she's guilty. She feels guilty after it. And we had like a little talk, and I turned to her, and I said, listen, no one will ever know about this.